This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Are you interested in the unknown?
Video games.
Old movies.
Horror.
Old TV.
Zombies.
Fantasies.
Comics.
The paranormal.
And science fiction.
Hot TV.
Games and more. Then tune in Tuesday night at 10.
On Sci-Fi and Squid.
On Joy 94.9.
Been through a number of these treatment programs in the past, and the results have been less than spectacular. Miss Bracknell is in need of stability.
I'm therefore ordering an urgent report into the suitability of her mother's house for a sentence of 8 months home detention.
Gosh, that's high tech, isn't it? Aren't you lucky, Kylie, having all that fancy technology on your foot?
Nice being back home.
Some things have happened since I've been here. Things I can't explain.
There was a ghost in this house, Kylie.
What are you going to do against a hostile spirit?
I'm going to smash it in the face.
When you put an overactive mind in an inactive environment, there's bound to be complications.
I need a counselling session. I just need to get out of this house.
Oh, no. They've been doing this all week. Hold on.
The restless spirit that lives in this house, what is your business here?
So, are you happy to proceed with the story that Mr. McRandall was attacked by a vengeful ghost?
Yes.
Righto.
It's like a cabbage in a pole of fleece. It's...
A big thing at Housebound is trying to make those scares as fun as possible, not trying to make you feel creepy or dirty or, you know,
the simple thing like getting a chicken out of the freezer. I just went, oh, you know, I'm home again.
Yeah.
The big freezer downstairs, yeah.
Yeah, just to kind of put this...
There's lots of things down there.
Yeah. It's just kind of trying to put in things that you'd lines that you'd never hear in a proper horror film.
No, you wouldn't.
You know, the resulting film, the great thing about plagiary is that when you end up making a film, it looks nothing like the people that you were trying to steal from.
Right.
Through lack of ability, talent, and...
budget.
And good luck, and budget, and, you know... Son in the background yelling out butter for the next 5 minutes.
Yelling out what, exactly?
Butter.
Oh, butter, right. I know what that
worry,
is.
It's imminent.
Well, only butter spreads better. Is that right?
That's right.
I remember that old ad.
I
Okay, hey, look, thanks so much for doing this. This is Sonia, and this is Sci-Fi and Scream, and on Joy 94.9. And I'm speaking on the phone to Gerard Johnston, the filmmaker who's created something called Housebound. And it's a Kiwi film, of course. We're speaking to him over there now, across the ditch.
Kia ora,
that's it. Called all sorts of things. A thriller, kind of a horror, but not really. A family movie, or not.
Yeah.
A mysterious, atmospheric, creepy film, apart from other things. And it's going to be playing at the Melbourne International Film Festival this year. In fact, coming up on Saturday the 9th and Sunday the 10th of August. So welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream, Gerard.
Thanks very much. Yeah,
I mean, they're only
going to get longer when people come up with more ways to describe the film, I hope.
Yes, well, in a year from now, it'll be a whole hour worth of intros before,
yeah.
As it's done all the rounds. So
it'll
tell us.
It'll be like an Australian place name.
Yes, although New Zealand has got the longest sign.
Yes,
of a place name.
Yep.
I'm not going to ask you what it is. That'll be mean.
That sounds correct.
That's it. Okay, so Housebound. Gerard, this is your film. What is it about?
It's about a girl who's sentenced to home detention to come to terms with her dithering mother, a house that may or may not be haunted. Mm. It's sort of like what we were trying to do was domestic comedy mixed with a ghost mystery, like almost like a Mike Lee film meets a Sam Raimi kind of movie.
Yes.
Being that they were two of my favourite directors and I couldn't figure out how to rip off both of them in one film, so...
Well, yes, and we're not talking about Spider-Man films, obviously.
Yes, no, we're talking about early stuff, yeah.
The earlier Evil Dead and slightly that type of...
Yeah, and, you know, the resulting film, the great thing about plagiary is that when you end up making a film, it looks nothing like the people that you were trying to steal from. Through lack of ability, talent... And
budget.
And good luck, and budget, and, you know, sometimes, yeah, as well, yeah, for sure.
Well, it did remind me of somebody that lives over there a lot of the time, obviously, Peter Jackson, so... may be what you weren't after, but...
Yeah, it's funny. I think maybe because, you know what, I'd have to revisit some of those early Peter Jackson films to see what people are talking about, but I think, yeah, maybe I couldn't help but put in a little bit of splatter. It's not that... gory,
no,
but it's just enough to get it. I guess maybe I'm paying homage in a way to Peter, but I guess that there's a lot of... both films are really well shot. Obviously, he was a horror guy who was always into making things look really pretty.
Yes.
And Housebound does look really good, beautifully lit, and the score is really great. I think maybe because it's sort of maybe the whole package, that's why we're getting the comparisons, which is really nice.
Yeah, well, it would help too, I guess, for getting the idea across, you know.
Definitely, yeah, I'm totally happy to...
to be compared,
I'm much happier to take that than, you know, Ed Wood or something.
Oh, right, fair enough. Well, that wouldn't be bad either, to be called better Tim Burton films. Look, it's very DIY, I think, and I think it's quite gothic. It's got a real gothic Kiwiana feel about it, even down to the house. Now, is this a real house in Housebound?
Yep.
It's not a set?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Houses. We didn't get one perfect house, so we sort of had to cobble a couple together. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Yeah.
You asked the question, and I can't lie.
No. All right.
So, yeah, it's actually a really nice-looking exterior and a nice-looking interior and a basement.
Mm.
So those are the three houses that make up the one house. So, yeah, there's not a lot of houses in Auckland with basements because it's quite a flat city.
Yes.
We searched far and wide to find that.
Oh, you managed to find something. That's pretty amazing.
We managed to find something.
There's
a long story about that. It fell through, and then luckily we sort of we were shooting for so long that by the time we had finally got around to shooting that basement scene, the guy who was going to let us film there and reneged on us, he sold the house. So then we got in touch with the new owners, and they were really great and let us film there. So it was quite fortuitous that it took so long.
Well, also now it's increased the quality the value of their house, hasn't it? So to speak.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe just the basement, but
yeah.
Now this is the famous basement where
..
Yeah, the axe murderers.
Very short tours. It's quite a small basement, but I'm sure they can make something out of it.
Yeah, maybe they can just show the film in there to four people or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And everyone can. It's kind of a. It's like a, it was a dirt floor basement, so filming in there was not great for the
health.
Yeah, not great for the health. There's a lot of sneezing and.
Yeah, well, it could have been anthrax, but which I believe is in dirt, so it could have got nasty.
Really snotty noses.
That adds to the accent. It's also quite comedic, isn't it? It's quite a funny film. Quite serious. Quite funny. It's got all those. Was that the intention to make this a comedy horror?
That's sort of my background. Before this, I dabbled in television comedy. So I made a show called The Jackie Brown Diaries, which I think the first series played on SBS over there. Yeah, basically my specialty is female-driven media satire. So then, obviously, going to a horror film, I didn't want to leap too much, so I kept the lead character female.
Yes.
And made it as funny as I could make it. So yeah, it was always the intention to. I mean, I'm just always thinking about. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way my mind works. I can never. I'm no good with drama. I'm just not earnest enough. I feel that it's got a time. There's a time limit on earnestness before I have to kind of figure out how to
laugh at it. Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe one day. Maybe one day I'll make my 12 Years a Slave.
Well, in the basement somewhere. But I think it shows in the film. I've been fortunate to see it just briefly, but in the film there is a serious atmosphere there at some point when Kylie, played by Morgana, is it Morgana or Morgana?
Morgana, yeah.
Sorry. Morgana O'Reilly, played opposite her mother, which played by the wonderful Rima Tiwiata, Miriam. There's a relationship there that's quite serious at times. You wonder what's going on and that mother-daughter thing. But yeah, it does get funny though, that, you know, it's the quirky aspects, I think, which are very Kiwi.
And I mean, in a way, it was sort of like a love letter to my mum. You know, I wanted to. My mother shares a lot of similarities with Rima's character, and I just thought, you know, sometimes you have such difficulty communicating with your parents.
So this is the way you communicate to your mum. How does she feel about it?
Well, I was thinking about a fictitious story that would be an excuse for this kind of fractious family to come together. I mean, I don't treat my mother the way Kylie treats Miriam in the film.
I'm wondering what your mum thought of this then. Was this, Mum, come and watch this film on Mother's Day, you know, here we go.
Well, I had to say in front of 1,800 people at the Civic that my mum's not racist, but I decided to take Miriam's character one step further and make her casually racist. So, no, she was happy.
She was okay about that.
Yeah, she was proud and she got a kick out of it.
Yeah. I just love some of the dialogue too that Miriam or Rima does say. You know, the simple thing like getting a chicken out of the freezer. I just went, oh, you know, I'm home again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The big freezer downstairs, yeah.
Yeah, just to kind of put this.
There's lots of things down there.
yeah. It's just kind of trying to put in things that you'd lines that you'd never hear in a proper horror film.
No, you wouldn't. So I was just going, how does she go? I was just going downstairs to get a chicken out of the freezer. And all the hairs on the back of my neck. Nothing to do with the chicken, obviously, or the coldness of the freezer. But it's very matter of fact, and that's what was also humorous, but realistic. Because it's the matter of factness, I think, that comes through in the dialogue. It's very good, actually.
Yeah. Well, if you ever listen to talkback radio and hear the indignation in people's voices when they're talking about some ridiculous topics,
yes,
sometimes including the paranormal, and those ghost hunting shows where they go about their business, you know, like they're cleaning the sink or something.
Yeah, just feeding the dog or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've got a paranormal infestation here. You'll sort it out, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the things you don't see in most ghost stories that made it into films and so on. Now, I was going to ask you about that. Is this a piss take at The Conjuring and all these more recent films?
You know, I haven't seen The Conjuring.
Oh, okay. Are you sure?
I keep meaning to. I've bought it. I keep meaning to watch it. I've watched. I think the reason I maybe bought it was to make sure that it didn't do anything that we were doing. You know, because sometimes when you make a film that has a certain concept, you just have to do your best to make sure that hasn't been done. So I tried to watch every horror film that was made in the last 5 years. I think I did a pretty damn good job. I think I got through about 80% of everything horror or thriller related in the last 5 years. So yeah, no. So it wasn't. No, it wasn't in response to any other horror films. I mean, I love the, as I said, the Sam Raimi stuff, the early Wes Craven stuff,
yeah,
John Carpenter. So those are the guys that I sort of grew up on and admired and had tried to pull things from, and Poltergeist. And so it was just kind of maybe marrying up all these ideas with a domestic, rural, gothic
situation.
Yeah, but I will watch The Conjuring. I love James Wan. I think he's in Lee Wan Au. I think they're a really effective horror team. I think they do really good stuff. I mean, Insidious was great. I watched that a lot. Just to kind of learn how to do the jump scares. Not just jump scares, but just good, really. They do really good, terrifying, you know, the kind of scares that sort of make you laugh about how
simple it is as well. Yeah, and how easy it is to scare people.
It's just the little things, you know. A big thing at Housebound is trying to make those scares as fun as possible, not trying to make you feel creepy or dirty or, you know, or to really give you nightmares. It's just, it is really, and that's why people are sort of, I don't know, maybe cooling off on the horror label a bit and calling it a thriller, because it's in some ways it is closer to a thriller in the way that it's structured. But, you know, it's definitely sort of a gothic horror. I guess if it's going to be a homage to something, maybe it is some of those earlier 70s films, like The Changeling and The Legend of Hell House and The Haunting are definitely three films from the 70s that I was consciously thinking of when I was writing it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you've answered probably most of the other questions, actually. Here we go. If it was about influences, it was favourite directors. This is great. good radio. No, that's cool. Yeah, looking at that, how many thrillers or horror / thrillers, whatever it is, basically mention Coronation Street. I mean, not many that I know of.
And yet it was a crucial part of growing up that I had to shoehorn in somehow.
Yes.
The battle for the television with your parents.
And the parents are so repressed and so submissive. It's very interesting, actually.
Well, I guess that's the wish fulfillment, is taking people like that are so repressed and putting them in a situation where they're forced to interact and work with one another. And yeah, so that was
true.
Fun of it for me.
But like we said before, there's a lot of serious sort of content going on. There's subtext and different things you can see that are going on. It's not just warm and fuzzy and homely and doilies and crochets on the couch. You know, not just about biscuits. It's about families, isn't it? It's really.
Yeah.
And I think we relate to that. Now, how did you get Rima Tiwiata involved?
Well, she's sort of a bit of a jobbing actor at the moment, like most other people. She's just not getting used a lot, I think, because...
Oh, for instance, she can't get work, no.
Well, we're not doing a lot of comedy in New Zealand. So for someone like her, I mean, you know, she used to be on Full Frontal with Eric Bana in the
90s, right.
And Rob Sitch and all those guys, and so I think she could have she could have quite happily, I think, you know, been at home on Australian screens for the last 10-15 years, but she got homesick, you know, a Kiwi girl, and she got really homesick, so she came back, and I just don't think we had enough work for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, that's something that I think it's a bit of a great shame about that we just haven't produced enough comedy and enough good comedy to sort of keep these people busy. It's so awesome that, you know, when we finally had something for Rima, that she just stepped up and reminded everyone
how good she is, basically.
Like a fine wine.
She's amazing in it, and it was such a joy to see her doing something like this. I mean, it looks like there was a lot of fun, a lot of fake blood, and, you know...
Yeah.
Lots of fun was had, so...
No, there were definitely some hard times, but there were some fun times as well, you know. I think, you know, they often say, as someone said it more eloquently, that, you know, really fun films are hard to watch, you know, sometimes, and with Housebound it was a really hard film to make, but hopefully that means it's really fun for people to watch.
I mean, the performances as well of Glenn Paul Larue. I don't know him, so I've heard of him, I should say.
He's just a mate of mine who I've done little sort of short films with and 48-hour films, but he was a music TV presenter over here, and he's actually living in Western Australia at the moment.
Oh, okay.
In Carnarvon, and he works with Aboriginal kids.
Oh, wow, okay.
Sort of disadvantaged youth and way out in the outback, which was an expensive plane ticket every time we had to fly him back.
yes.
So he's actually got quite a few Housebound cast that are now Australian natives. I think Morgana, you know, she's on Neighbours and she's in Australia. Glenn Paul's there. Dave Van Horn, Cameron Rhodes, I think, is doing a lot of stuff in Australia.
Okay.
So, yeah, most of the cast is coming to live in Australia. I hope you guys have got room.
Yeah, maybe you should have called it not housebound, but certainly moving house, because it is like that. I mean, seriously, I call myself an economic refugee. There's so many of the diaspora over here in Australia, and I'm not surprised, you know, I had to ferry people back and forth, and that's where the work is, I guess.
Yeah, look, I would be quite happy if Australia and New Zealand joined forces in terms of television and film. I think we'd get a look. I mean, it would probably, obviously, it would be more of an advantage to us than you guys, but if you're happy to have us...
Keep your debt. that brings me to the question, would you consider moving here to carry on with your career?
I've got one thing in the pipeline, and sort of a handful of things I really want to do. There's one that's based in Australia that I really want to do, but in terms of where I'm going to be based, I'm probably going to be in New Zealand for a little while longer.
Yeah.
There's been a few offers from Hollywood, so I've got to figure out whether or not I might, make the trip out to LA. But I love the lifestyle in Australia. Mm. I lived there on the Gold Coast for a year back in 2000, and I was a telemarketer on the Gold Coast, and until I ran out of money, and then I ended up in a meatworks factory in Ipswich. I feel that the part of my heart is Western Australia, and actually part of a superannuation fund with Australian Meat Holdings. So I'll be happy to come back and claim. I think I've got a couple of $100.
Oh, wow.
Owing to me if I ever do move back, so...
That's a good night out on the Gold Coast, isn't it?
Exactly.
What is it with Kiwis and Gold Coast? I mean, seriously, there's nothing there. I don't know. So as far as Housebound goes, is it doing any more festivals after Melbourne International Film Festival?
Yeah, it's doing, it's in the Sydney one.
Yeah.
Sydney Underground Film Festival.
Okay.
And what else? We do have one big one coming up, but it hasn't been announced yet, so I can't say. But hopefully, Fright Fest.
Fright Fest, yep.
Yeah. It's doing Fantasia Fest at the moment, maybe one or two others, and then pretty much we'll be looking at getting it out there on general release in the US in October, here in September, and I'd imagine in Australia it'll general release a little bit after that. But obviously we want people to come and see it at the Melbourne Film Festival if they can.
So general release now in the US, that's pretty good, isn't it? Is that...
October.
Oh, October. Yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Great.
Very good. Very good. Someone got the butter yet, or?
What's that, sorry?
Has someone there got the butter yet?
He was asking for a cuddle.
Oh, he wants a cuddle now.
That's all right. Fair enough. Mummy gave him a cuddle.
So oh, that's all right.
We'll get a cuddle later.
That's cool. Yeah, what sort of films will you do next? Will you do more stuff like this, or are you going to explore it?
I enjoyed making a horror film. It was really hard. I had to go back to school a little bit on horror. It's not something I'm naturally good at or drawn to making. I probably love watching them more than I do making them, because you've got to be in kind of a dark headspace, you know, while you're doing it. But comedy's more my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, as a comedy and horror, I'll probably stick with the comedy for a while as much as I'm allowed to. And, you know, action and just, you know, genre stuff. I'm a genre kid. So I love my comedies, love my action movies, love my Indonesian martial arts movies.
Oh, right. So did you see The Raid 1 and 2?
Yes, I saw The Raid 2 in South by Southwest. Yeah,
excellent. Pretty excellent.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I really love Housebound. It's like a cabbage in a polar fleece. It's These lines are wonderful, aren't they? I have to say, probably my favourite character would definitely be the father, the stepfather.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Graham's.
Stepfather.
The stepfather, yeah, Graham.
Yeah, no, he's a sweetheart.
No, that's cool.
My son, Louis, he just wants to let you know that he's been eating.
He's been eating. Oh, good. That sounds like a good thing to do. Yes.
Yeah. To tell everyone to come along.
Yes, of course, that bit. It's your chance to see another Kiwi, thriller horror comedy, because it's vying with that other one. What's that other one called? It's already played.
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
That other one. But
Final Cat.
That only had one screening, which was a bit sad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Couldn't get to it. It's booked out
pretty much. They've probably got a general release coming up.
Yeah, they have got something happening with Mad Men.
That was great as well. But please come along and tell your friends, and if they say they don't like horror movies, say they'll like this one.
Yes, exactly. And it's intriguing. And
yeah,
definitely. Back to the meatloaf, I think. The whole thing is gutted. No, I love that one too. I can't. You can see I'm on my notes written down here. It's pretty sad. Look, excellent speaking to you, Gerard Johnston, the maker of Housebound.
Cool, yeah.
Fabulous Kiwi film. Yeah, cool.
I might have to write this down.
Okay, yeah.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
That's it.
On
Joy
FM.
94.9.
Joy 94.9.
That's it.
Okay, hi, I'm Gerard, writer director of Housebound. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yep, that'd be great.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, your full name would be great. Yes, thank you.
Hi, this is Gerard Johnston, director and writer of Housebound. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Great, excellent. Thank you so much. That's great. Well, all the best, and maybe we'll see you when you get over here.
Queer geeks are boss, because not all geeks are the same, and not all queer geeks are the same. Queer geeks are boss, because allies are important, and because you can like Batman and Spider-Man. Queer geeks are boss, because Professor Oak doesn't know how to politely ask which pronoun you prefer, and then goes on to assume you're cisgendered anyway. Queer geeks are boss, because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than straight white dudes. Queer geeks are boss, because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters that represent ourselves.
Queer geeks are boss,
because we want to explore stories and worlds as characters other than ourselves.
Queer geeks are boss,
because we want to see what it would look like if we put Tumblr on a stage.
Queer geeks are boss,
in Melbourne, Hobart, Brisbane and Sydney.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.